Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Now is the perfect time to take control of your money. We are Cooley & Labus Financial Advisors, your local certified financial planners here to help you budget smarter, save more, and plan for your future.
Call today for your free consultation. Let's make your money work for you. Visit CooleyLabus.com today.
Welcome in at the conclusion of one of the most bizarre weekends that I have ever seen, that any of you have ever seen in college football. Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss for LSU in bizarre, narrative-affirming fashion. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Ole Miss's decision to elevate Pete Golding from not just interim, but to full-time head coach for Ole Miss. And yes, we are a little bit early tonight, but that's okay. I feel like we just needed to get to it and talk about it and give myself a little bit more time so I'm not rushing myself out of here. So welcome into the show. My name is Michael Borky. Really appreciate you being here as you always are. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. Always appreciate you guys doing that. Also, before we get into it, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That is the website, Toyota of Brookhaven. They're off of exit 40, but you can shop with them anywhere on their website. I'm telling you, it's worth the trip. You'll get an outstanding car buying experience. And also, you'll get $1,000 off on me if you just simply tell them that I sent you. That's all you need to do. At Toyota Brookhaven, they have one of the highest service rated service departments in the state, and in-house financing and more. Check them out, Toyota of Brookhaven. And also, if you want to be a part of this podcast, you can. If you're a business or you're a brand, you want to be a part of it, there's an easy way to do that. Just send me an email, borky@supertalk.fm. Just send me an email, and I will show you very clearly how this platform works. I will give you hard, very specific, non-ambiguous numbers for how many people watch and listen to this podcast. If you want to be a part of it, send me an email, borky@supertalk.fm, borkey@supertalk.fm. So, obviously, the story of the day is Lane Kiffin ultimately leaving Ole Miss. And, you know, at the end of the day, we'll start with that before we get into Pete Golding and the playoff and all of the fallout from that. I don't think any of you were surprised by this, nor should you have been. And frankly, you shouldn't have been surprised by the way it went down, although it's astonishing, really. Even though it's somebody that very clearly is socially different than most people, to put it nicely. He's a different guy. He's always been a different guy. His online presence is really funny at times and also bizarre at times. The off-the-field stuff with the hot yoga and those things, it's all, you know, he's a different guy, to put it mildly. And he does have and had some traits that are destructive in the past. His exit with the Raiders, the 70-plus yard field goal, that situation, leaving Tennessee and how that all went down, Nick Saban firing him shortly before a championship game because he was too distracted by FAU. I mean, there's a pattern of this. There's a pattern, as we've talked about for weeks, of immaturity, among other things, destructive tendencies in his life. It's still, knowing all that, doesn't make what happened over the last few weeks, especially the last couple of days, any less astonishing to watch somebody build what he built at Ole Miss and kind of reshape the national narrative about him. He went from villain, the butt of a lot of jokes, to, hey, look at this fun program that this dude has built at Ole Miss. And look at how, like, he got skinny and his family has moved back. His estranged family, in a way, has moved with him to this place, and look at what he's become and look at what he's built at where he is. To burn all of that down to the ground on your way out the way that he did, regardless of who it is astonishing to watch unfold in real time. The self-destruction of everything that you've built in such a petty, immature way is wild from a 30,000-foot view or from a down-the-road view. Everybody involved in watching this is, I mean, again, I guess you should not be surprised at the end of the day, but I am surprised that a human being, a 50-year-old human being, can handle all of this the way that he has handled it. And we've been talking about this for weeks. It started weeks ago, but frankly, it started last year. Even with 2022 in Auburn, as we talked and have talked about many times, the way that he handled the John Sokolov situation was just that of an adult child taking shots at the facility that's currently being renovated above his head at the time. And then you've got the trolling your own fan base about crowd size for the Citadel game after they broke a record against Florida. You had on the field before the Florida game tweeting at the governor of the state of Florida, the Kiffin 2025 hat, that in all of it, it's very well documented how this has gone, but the gaslighting that has gone on, especially over the last couple of days, but the last couple of weeks about the decision and why are fans upset that this is the narrative about the program? They should be happy. They could go back to winning six games. All of the stuff, all of the statements, all of the college game day, all of the tweets, everything that has come with this, and then the full-on crash out when it came to this decision and the meetings and dealing with Keith Carter and trying to have his cake and eat it too, and the statement today, which was just a lie about how the players wanted him to stay. That is a lie confirmed by multiple players and parents of multiple other players. It is a lie. That did not happen. The team did not lobby Keith Carter to let him keep coaching. That is it's just simply a lie. Regardless of who it is, watching it unfold this way is astonishing to me. But more importantly, to me anyway, this now creates a situation at Ole Miss that is really unique. One more thing. Rewind. I didn't have anything written, but I did want to bring this up too. Anybody that is arguing, and there's a few people, most of them are repped by CAA, which we'll probably get to that coming up later. ESPN has flown too close to the sun with their calculated defense of a Jimmy Sexton client. And people have noticed now, not just people here in Mississippi that are tied to Ole Miss in one way or another, but basically everybody else in college football media noticed that the way that College Game Day and ESPN, CAA repped ESPN employees have covered this is a little too transparent, a little too on the nose, a little too robotic. And that has been exposed. And now people have noticed the tentacles that agency has on college football. But if you're one of those people that is doing the very disingenuous blaming this only on the calendar and not blaming it on the 50-year-old man that had control over all of this, you have another example, a side-by-side example of a coach in a similar position doing it a different way. So if you are just blaming the calendar, you have Auburn made a hire today, Florida made a hire today, Arkansas made a hire today. None of them went down like this. Why not? Take John Summerall, for example. John Summerall, hell of a football coach, has a team that is poised to make the college football playoff. The second it leaked that Florida was set to interview John Summerall, how did he respond? Do you guys remember that? It was a few weeks ago. How did he respond to that? Immediately shut it down and pulled himself out of the running for the job. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute. Well, he ended up taking the job anyway. Yeah. He lied, essentially, is what happened there. But the second it became about anything other than his football team publicly, he publicly pulled himself out of the running, said, I will not interview with Florida. I am not going to take that job. I'm out. And then he started sending out pictures of him in team meetings, and it all became about his football team again. He protected his football team in that moment. He lied, but he protected his team. And yes, ultimately at the end is going to take the Florida job. Sounds like Tulane's going to let him coach. Right decision. You're on two different levels, two different playing fields. You're not in the SEC. It's not a division rival, and he handled it with class. Right? That's the difference. And you've seen both of those two things play out in real time. John Summerall was pursued by multiple SEC schools. Lane Kiffin was pursued by multiple SEC schools. The second it became about something other than Tulane, John Summerall shut it down and took back and controlled the narrative and made it about his football team again. Lane Kiffin just threw gasoline on the fires about him and other jobs, publicly sent his family to Gainesville and Baton Rouge, and would not log off Twitter. And he just wouldn't stop. He let everything be. He let everything besides his team be discussed during this season when they were having the best regular season run in the modern history of his program. He let it be about anything but his actual football team. Frankly, he should have two guys that are in the discussion for the Heisman Trophy. He should have two of them. Kewon Lacy, look at his numbers. He should be in the discussion for the Heisman Trophy. Trinidad Chambliss leads the country in 300-yard passing games. Mendoza at Indiana, he has one. Trinidad has seven. Mendoza had one going into yesterday. I don't know if he threw for 300 yesterday. I know they beat the hell out of Purdue. But he has two fewer starts. But nobody even knows who Kewon Lacy is nationally. One of the best players in college football, nobody knows who he is. Why? Because everybody's been focused on everything but the Ole Miss football team because he allowed that. Not only did he allow it, he welcomed it. He made it about himself. That's why it got so messy. That's why it's a problem. It's not considering and taking the LSU job. That's not the issue here. And too many people are trying to confuse that. That's not the problem. Nobody's got a problem with the way John Summerall conducted himself in this process. Nobody. Nobody thinking rationally anyway. Because he handled himself like a coach that cares about his team and like a man that has some class. And now it's a much cleaner break. Lane Kiffin handled it like a 16-year-old girl, which is what he did. Perpetually online, that Lane Kiffin. One hell of a football coach, though. Unbelievable football. Outstanding football coach. But has the maturity of a 16-year-old girl. Has the emotional maturity of a 16-year-old girl. And so it got messy. There was reporting that he was bothered by the fact that Keith Carter was conducting coaching search stuff before he got an answer one way or another from Lane Kiffin. I believe that reporting. I believe it to be true. I know that he was very bothered publicly by the media criticism that he got, internally and externally. You saw that exchange with Ben Garrett. There's a very easy way for that to have been. Do you know how hard it is to get the national media in unison against you? Do you know how hard that is? And he did that. He managed that. You have a side-by-side example of a coach taking a different job, handling it the wrong way and the right way. They existed at the exact same time. So don't let anybody try to tell you that this is only a product of the calendar. It is not only a product of the calendar. This is a product of somebody that wanted to have his cake and eat it too, that wanted to be responsible for two SEC schools at the same time, and somebody that wanted to burn as many bridges as he possibly could on his way out of the door when he has accomplished. Now, he won't get to coach in it, but he got a program to the playoff for the first time in his career, and he burned it all down on the way out the door. It very well could work out for him at LSU. Wouldn't be surprised if it does. He's one hell of a football coach. He did great things at Ole Miss. But there are things that he did at Ole Miss that those people will not put up with. And I don't know if you've taken a look at that LSU schedule for next year. Lose three games and then tweet from your hot yoga studio on a Sunday morning after your third loss in late October and tell me that those people are going to handle it the same way that the people that you just left will. An astonishing day for Lane Kiffin, for college football. But at the end of the day, all he did was affirm what a lot of people already thought about him. And it's a shame, really, because could have built a pretty incredible story where he was. Had all the resources he needed, all the money that he needed to build rosters, 11-1 football team. And instead, there's just something in him that's a self-saboteur. And he allowed it to burn all to the ground on his way out. Crazy town. Absolutely crazy. I'll just read your comments. I know that you guys are going to talk about Golding and stuff like that. So instead of continuing that my rambling, I want you guys to be a part of it. So we'll do that after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you're a Mississippi business and you need technology in the office, that's where you get it. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. Again, all of your office technology needs. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. You tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they'll find a solution for you on me at ABSMS.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every single day. They've got an online banking platform that's outstanding. You can do whatever you need to do with your money just with an internet connection. You don't need multiple apps like I did at my previous bank, because Priority One Bank will make you their priority just like they do me. Here we go to the comments. I think Ole Miss will still host a college football playoff game. I mean, that's the next layer to this, right? I'll be honest with you. I think that it was a good thing that Ole Miss did not make the SEC championship, and here's why. You don't want a data point that could work against you, because right now, what will Ole Miss look like without Lane Kiffin is an unanswerable question. You can think that it's going to be bad, or you can think that it's going to be great, but that's all you can do is think. 12-team versus 4-team, but what harmed Florida State is when Travis got hurt, they played a game, and they looked like garbage when they played the game, giving the committee a data point, a reason to leave them out of the playoff. Considering how poorly handled all of this was going to be, Ole Miss would have been trying to scramble to get ready for Georgia, on top of the fact that they would have had to deal with whatever the hell Lane was going to try to do and force his way to coach the game, or won't he coach? The team very clearly was bothered and upset by the way he was handling this. It would have been a disaster. And so and especially considering Georgia's peaking at the right time, did you really want to give the committee another data point that looks bad against you? Ole Miss would not have been as adequately prepared for that game as they would have needed to be, considering whatever the hell Lane Kiffin was doing. And so the committee seeing, ooh, Ole Miss without Kiffin looked bad. Look at what happened in the SEC championship game. Now there's ambiguity. Now there's, we don't know what they're going to look like. All we know is they went 11-1. The entire team is intact, and their only losses by a touchdown on the road in Athens. Can you really drop that team multiple spots behind teams with worse records than them. I mean, maybe they can. I don't trust the people in that committee room. I don't trust them at all, and neither should you. But the people pushing for that to happen are hacks. It's a hack job because there's no way of knowing. And when you're debating sports, if you are doing the, well, they would, or this is what the odds makers would do, when you have tangible on-field results, you lose, or you should lose anyway. Well, they're not going to be as good. How do you know? You don't know. So you have to operate, or you should operate. Who knows what the committee's going to do, but you should operate in the known. And so we'll see. They should host a college football playoff game. They should. They just went 11-1. They should. The entire team is going to be intact, I think. I mean, you might have one or two players opt out, and it would be a very stupid thing. But you're none of your key players are going anywhere. That's not a thing that's going to happen, I don't think. They should. I don't know if they will. The show goes on. Win it all just because they can. My hate for LSU was already extremely high. Now I hate them even worse than the – I see. That environment next year in Oxford. Because remember, when he made the return trip to Neyland, that was over a decade later, and it was like that. Won't even be a full year later when LSU, because they have to, as you guys know, the schedule moving to 9 games makes it weird. LSU going to Oxford is going to be one of the most unique environments you've ever seen in college football. I don't think that he will be prepared. Maybe he will, because he did it in Neyland, but I don't think he'll be prepared for what that's going to be like for him, considering how upset he's been about all of the media people not affirming every decision he's ever made. Thought it would be bad with Kiffin, but I didn't anticipate it being that terrible. I mean, holy crap. Yeah. Isn't it crazy that 2/3 of the last Ole Miss coaches have ended in the craziest ways? Yeah, I mean, this and Hugh Freeze, my God. Can't wait to see how he gets fired 3 to 4 years from now. 2026, Ole Miss versus LSU, the hoedown, throwdown. Kiffin now parading around Baton Rouge, of course. Yeah, it's going to be a long one, it is. Need a good OC. I don't quite know what they're going to do there. I mean, it's been reported that Charlie Weiss Jr. Is still considering returning to and remaining at Ole Miss, that he went to Baton Rouge today to kind of feel it out. I am of the opinion that once you get on the airplane, it's done. But I don't know. I mean, you can't add new staff. I would assume that Judge would be the play caller if that doesn't happen. But, man, once you get on the plane and your fan base sees you get on that plane to Baton Rouge, I just don't know if that's an option anymore once you do that. His statement today was complete BS. Didn't even face his team. What a coward. We knew he'd played victim. It was just a lie. It was a complete lie. That the statement today was a lie. And then the interview with Marty Smith was throwing Keith Carter under the bus. Here's the thing that Keith Carter did, by the way. Keith Carter supported Lane in ways that many other ADs would not. It's been alluded to already, but he was there in support of him early in his tenure at Ole Miss in ways that other ADs would not have been supportive. Just went out, put up with things, both with like time and all that other ADs won't and wouldn't. Keith Carter hiring him got him his career back, basically. Provided him with money and resources and an answer of yes to literally everything. everything that he asked for. And even at the very end, these last few weeks when the fan base was getting restless, when he was trolling your own people, when he was acting like an emotionally immature 16-year-old, the AD stood next to him and with him the entire time. Keith Carter has never to anybody, privately or publicly, spoken a bad word about Lane Kiffin, even as he was putting all of you, which is you guys are the people that he put through this and his team, until the very end, was supportive and everything. And twice now, Keith has been thrown under the bus by Kiffin on his way out the door, despite the level of support that very few ADs around the country would give to their head coach. And that statement, I mean, again, that interview with Marty threw Keith under the bus. The statement lied about the team. This is who he is. This is who he is. Any of the offensive staff staying? Yeah, a few of them. Garrison, offensive line coach. Smith, the running backs coach, would surprise me. Joe Judge still there. I don't quite know what else they're going to do there. We'll know, I would guess, within 24 hours. It's clear Lane held all the cards and Ole Miss's hands were tied. But what Ole Miss did right in this, by the way, I know this is an insensitive reference. I keep making it, though, because it's the only one that I can think of. I'm sorry if this is an insensitive reference. Please forgive me if I got an email from a listener of the radio show that didn't like that I used this. But I used it with you guys before. What Keith Carter and Ole Miss did this entire time was gave Lane Kiffin the rope to – They provided him the rope, and he did it to himself. They tried to control the narrative with the ESPN talent over the weekend. Booger McFarland in the studio, the LSU grad that's repped by CAA, Kirk Herbstreit, who's repped by CAA, Nick Saban, who's famously a Sexton client. All of them running cover for Kiffin about how the calendar's bad and, won't somebody think of the poor millionaire football coach who is gaslighting his own fan base on his way out the door and putting his team through all of this and not promoting them in any way, shape, or form, not making this season about them in any way, shape, or form. They ran cover for him. Other than that, it was a situation in which he has been universally criticized, he being Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss's silence in support is a big reason why that is the case. Ole Miss comes out of this, for whatever it's worth to you, maybe worth nothing, looking much more favorable than Lane Kiffin does. I mean, read some of the stuff that's been written about him. And all of it is accurate. All of it is. Hell of a football coach, did outstanding things at Ole Miss, handled this as poorly as any human could possibly handle this, and all of the talk about the growth and all that stuff is just BS, is what it is. And that's okay, because his job is to win football games, not to be a preacher. But he showed who he is through this process. Hell of a football coach and somebody that had all of the narratives around him affirmed by the way he handled this. Ole Miss's silence and support is the reason why it went down like that. Saying he wouldn't face his team is totally in bad faith. AD wouldn't let him. That's not true. He had plenty of opportunity to do it. That's just not true. He had chances. He chose not to. The leadership council tried to talk to him this morning. He refused to face them. They had to go to him. He wouldn't pick up the phone when they tried to call him. He had plenty of opportunities to talk to his team. And so, no, Keith Carter did not ban him from speaking to his football team. He had plenty of chances. He chose not to take them. Brian Daboll is available for an OC spot, or Chip Kelly. I think Daboll would be great. I don't know if you can bring him on right now, though. I mean, you have to try to keep everything as the same as possible for the playoffs. Whole thing just sucked. I think he was going to do this all along. Probably. Part of me wonders if he were... No, he doesn't, because he still doesn't believe that Ole Miss was in the right by not letting him coach and build a staff and recruit for and tamper with players for LSU while working in the Ole Miss facility. He believes that's the case. But as I say to you guys all the time, the fans are the ones that lose the most in this. You deserved better. You finally had a season that you should remember forever. And I would encourage you, for whatever it's worth, I'm going to get a little preachy here, but now that you've gotten closure and now that he's gone, forget about all of it and just think about the wins and the team. That's what you do now. And then support the hell out of him for the playoffs. I mean, the number of players and leaders on your team in an era in which apparently, you know, according to Lane Kiffin, none of the players care at all about their coach or what they do, which, again, that was, as I said to you guys when he said that, was also a lie. Players do care. You have a team that is mostly full of players that really went to bat for you and your institution, and were not willing to put up with this and are worth supporting. And so even though the situation is garbage, is what it is for you, it is a you've got a team that is worth getting behind and deserves getting behind and shows you that the narratives about current college football players are partially true, but not completely true. Thought Keith Carter did the best he could given the circumstances. I thought Ole Miss was completely screwed this afternoon before the player meeting. Yeah. Who will call the plays? Judge? I don't know. I think that's still being figured out. I would think so. Say Carter screwed Ole Miss just as much as Lane with his indecisiveness too. I would love for you to elaborate on that because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I saw that on Twitter last night from somebody that I like and respect that does media in Baton Rouge. The stupidest thing I've ever seen. Keith Carter's indecisiveness. What are you talking about? That is the most misinformed line that you're just parroting. I mean, you're just parroting somebody else's statement. That is the most misinformed, if not just directly running cover for somebody else that I've seen. Keith Carter's indecisiveness. He had been clear from the beginning. Here's your contract extension. It's massive. You'll be one of the highest paid head coaches in college football. Here's all of the NIL money, the millions of dollars, staff increase. Here is your contract offer. Sign it. Here it is. Here's your extension that you can sign with Ole Miss. And you're not coaching the playoff unless you are committed to Ole Miss. That has been known for weeks. So this idea that Keith was indecisive is garbage. It's not true. He was very specific. I mean, very clear. Here's your contract. We want you to coach at Ole Miss. This is what I want. I love you, coach. I appreciate you. I respect you. I want you to stay here. Here's a massive contract. And if you are going to go somewhere else, you're not going to coach the playoff here. There was no indecisiveness. Ole Miss was very clear throughout this process. So parroting that talking point, it's stupid. That of all the things that happened this weekend with the CAA reps running cover for him or just Kiffin's actions in general, I think blaming this on Keith Carter's indecisiveness is the dumbest thing that happened this weekend. I really think that's the dumbest thing that's happened this weekend. It's just incredible how intentionally he burned everything to the ground. I mean, it's just self-destructive behavior is what that is. Remember, an unproven head coach's only experience was a DC that Georgia took a chance on in 2016. I believe Coach Golding can start the golden era. See, here's the thing about that. So we haven't really talked about Pete Golding yet. For what it's worth, I do believe that if Ole Miss were on a better timeline than this one, that they would have conducted a real coaching search that would have ended with somebody else. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not. I don't think on this. I think they would have, if they weren't dealing with Lane and how he handled all of this, they would have conducted a real coaching search that would have ended with somebody that has had coaching experience. Considering the circumstances, having Pete in the building already is a very good thing for Ole Miss. Obviously, he's well-respected in the industry. He's coached under great coaches. He has put together quality defenses at Ole Miss. He's recruiting. His side of the ball recruits really, really well, especially in the high school ranks. Players obviously really, really like him. It's a high ceiling, I think low floor hire. There's a chance it doesn't work. There's a real chance it doesn't work. But there's a real chance that it does, too, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that it does. But what we're going to deal with on the radio show this week, especially from State fans, is, oh, well, we did it with Arnett, and look what happened. It's the same, and the Ole Miss is going to suck now just like we did. We're going to get that. Because apparently Mississippi State's the only school to have promoted their defensive coordinator after their coach left. In Mississippi State's case, of course, it was the tragic, untimely passing of the great Mike Leach. But pretending like they're the only school that has promoted a DC after or with a vacancy is it's just kind of dumb, is what it is. I mean, do you think Georgia Tech regrets promoting from within? You think Notre Dame regrets promoting their defensive coordinator after their coach left for LSU? Do you think Ohio State regrets promoting a coordinator from inside to their head coach? Do you think Georgia regrets hiring a coordinator? Do you think Oregon regrets hiring a coordinator? Do you think Texas Tech regrets hiring a coordinator? You think Vanderbilt regrets hiring a coordinator? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So there are examples where it's gone poorly, like at Mississippi State, and there's examples where it's gone really well, like at Notre Dame, like at Georgia Tech, like at Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas Tech. So I'm going to have to deal with that a lot this week. And just because they saw it happen to their program, they think that it will happen to every program, and that is obviously just not the case. But, you know, it requires some critical thinking skills, and not everybody that comments on these things has them. Like that line in The Dark Knight, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. But he never had to become the villain. Never had to. Don't you feel that the Grove Collective will see a surge in donations? Oh, they are absolutely getting a surge in donations. Florida fan in here says Ole Miss will be irrelevant again. Geez. You know, I would look in the mirror first if I were you about relevancy. Also, Florida made a hell of a hire that all Florida fans are mad about because they're delusional. Also, with Auburn's new coach, if he chooses to release some of that coaching staff, they may come back to an Ole Miss reunion. Certainly could be. Who else is on the coaching staff left? The entire defensive staff. Offensive coordinator for now. Again, I know it's been reported that there's a chance that he returns as of 7:48. I have not seen any news one way or another on that. But once you get on the plane, that's it to me. So we'll see. But the entire defensive staff, offensive line coach, running backs coach, quarterbacks coach, all remaining. Credit to the players for standing together. The overwhelming majority of them did. Talk you out of thinking that this may be Matt Luke version 2. Can't help but go there. Sorry, I understand. Certainly understand that. Pete's actually been a coordinator. For one, and two, the team and program that he's inheriting isn't anything close to what Matt Luke inherited. And the timing of it's totally different as well. If one relieved it's over, yeah. You people loved him a week ago. No, not really. Get off your high horse and stop acting. See, this is the other dumb part of this. You say, get off your high horse and stop acting like you wouldn't do the same in your career field. Tyler, I wouldn't. And you want to know how? Because I have been in that situation. I have been presented at a half dozen job offers from radio stations or media outlets in different states. Four of the six, for more money too, even. What I would never do, Tyler, is while I was considering those options, again, I had six of them from other media outlets or radio stations in other states. I would never disrespect my employer on the way out the door or when I was considering those offers. You see how that's what you're missing here? That's what you're kind of forgetting or willing to ignore in this is when I took those calls and I talked to those people, I wasn't strutting around my office telling them about it. And if I were to take those jobs, I would have given my employer a really significant heads up, and I would have done whatever I needed to do to make the transition away from me into whatever is next for them as seamless as possible before I left, because the people that I work for have provided for me in my life. They've given me the platform, the 12 stations to talk about sports every day. They pay me a salary where I can provide for my family every day because of them. And I wouldn't act like a clown on the way out the door if I were to ever leave Super Talk. I never, never would act like that because I believe that I owe them for taking care of me in my life the way that they have. I'm stuck here. I'm a lifer. I'm not going anywhere. But if that day were to come, I wouldn't handle it that way. You have an example in John Sumrall to show you that even coaches can do it the right way. But no, Tyler, I wouldn't do the same in my career field because I've been in that exact position and I didn't handle it that way. You think Ole Miss was fed bad sourcing on other coaches, or did Lane poison things bad enough to ward them off? It's the latter. Lane poisoned them bad enough, and the these other coaches needed to they needed to make a decision. Signing day's Wednesday. That they had no choice. They had no. I mean, these guys had to hurry too. And for however long Ole Miss was going to drag their feet, the worse it made it. So no, I think it was just simply timing. Carter was wanting his cake and wanted to eat it too. That's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. It's totally insane. I can't even entertain how ridiculous that is. I think the ones out there calling Keith Carter the toxic one in the situation is baffling. It absolutely makes no sense. Makes no sense at all. His interview with Marty Smith was a joke. Yes, it was. Kind of feel bad for Marty Smith having to do. I mean, last night was especially a joke. They kept throwing it to him. He had nothing to add. He had nothing to add. But his comments on his staff and player threats that got leaked by Brett McMurphy were damning. Oh, it wasn't just McMurphy. It got out all over. But that also shows you a lot. And also, there's some lawyers that have pointed out that he very well could have broken the law by threatening the jobs of his staff members the way that he allegedly did. There could be some legalese that he created by that going so public. But that tells you all you need to know about him. Willing to dangle the livelihood of a bunch of guys with young families over their heads to get what he wants. That's not the sympathetic figure in this situation. That's not the person that's doing right by anybody when you act that way. That's just another example of emotional immaturity. The calendar did cause this problem? No. The calendar caused the problems that Alex Golesh and John Sumrall faced, Ryan Silverfield faced today. The calendar didn't cause Lane Kiffin to behave this way. Credit to Keith Carter and the administration for calling Lane's bluff and keeping as many staff members as possible. Was a giant middle finger to Lane? Yes, it was, especially when the players are going to add too. Never seen Ole Miss so galvanized. Looks like a lot of the general college football fans are behind them. Yep, they are. How does Ole Miss feel about Summerall? If the timeline would have worked better, they'd have gone after him hard. I mean, I think he's a great hire and a great football coach. Florida did really well getting him. SmithFan22, thank you for the super chat, my friend. Really, really appreciate you. He had a chance to make Ole Miss a powerhouse. LSU isn't a home run job by any means. It's the same money and similar talent pool. Look, it's a great job. I think it's a top four job in college football. But I still can't wrap my mind around getting a program to the place that he got it and establishing a life beyond that where you were, just to leave that to chase the thing that you currently have. Truly bizarre. He's going to eventually fail at LSU, has to win a title in the next 3 to 4 years or he's cooked. This will be the last time he has a major job. I think he can win, though, but he better. If Florida State was left out while being undefeated, then Ole Miss should be left out. That's a good point, except for the fact that there's 8 more teams in the playoff than there was when Florida State was left out. But aside from that, it's a good point. People don't see the difference between the Tulane in Florida versus Ole Miss and LSU. Simply are out of touch with this era of college football. You know what it is, Emily? It's willful ignorance. They know. Everybody comparing the two situations knows that they're different. They just choose not to believe that they're different. They're going to hate him? Oh, they're going to hate him. Unless he wins every game. They're going to hate the all the stuff that Ole Miss people loved and appreciated and accepted and all that, they're going to hate. And the day after a loss and your dog's tweeting something stupid, they're going to hate that. Would mark the schedule every year. Ole Miss plays LSU and beat the backside and show Lane what he walked away from. The environment in Oxford next year is going to be unlike anything you've ever seen. The amount of recruits showing their support to sticking with the program shows me that he had one foot out of the door for a while. Well, he's not a relationships guy. And it's worked in the portal era where it's more transactional, but he's not a relationships guy. That's why the staff didn't come with him. That's why the entire defensive staff, not one of them is going with him. But, I mean, you got 5 on-field staffers on offense, and he got 2 to come with him, or 3 to come with him. You have he's not a relationships guy. It works, but very few conversations were had with those high school recruits. They were all recruited by members of his staff. That's how he handles it, and that's how he'll handle it at LSU. I keep seeing people say, wow, Lane Kiffin recruiting with LSU is going to be great. No, Lane Kiffin staff, which to his credit, he's very good at hiring staff. He's very, very good at that. Is going to go well at LSU. It's not going to be because of him. He's not good in those settings. Never has been. That's not a new thing. He never has been. He hires good staff and lets them do it. So it's all about staff for him. And I'm sure he'll have a really good one at LSU because he's really good at hiring staff. But he's not some ace recruiter. He's an ace identifier of staff talent and also talent on the field. He's very bad in those one-on-one settings. People think that Twitter lane is like in the room with a recruit lane. That's not how he is at all. And Garrett got the last laugh too. Yeah. You can't, of all people, Dave Portnoy is correct. You can't get mad at somebody for calling you something that you ultimately become. Sorry, scrolling through some comments. I don't want to get repetitive here. That's all. Landing up on the wrong side of any media member not represented by CAA is hilarious. I mean, Curtis, isn't it unbelievably transparent how that went down over the weekend? There's no coincidence there. Yeah, there's no coincidence there at all. Yeah, and he has to go to Knoxville next year, too. LSU schedule next year is brutal, man. It is absolutely brutal. He ain't losing three games, different tier jobs. Have you watched LSU football lately? If it's such a different tier job, why couldn't Brian Kelly win there? Oh, Brian Kelly sucks. Well, that's not what you said when you hired him. Why is it so easy for other coaches at LSU to lose games? Like, it's a great job. The talent pool is unbelievable. Freaking Ed Orgeron won a championship at LSU. But he lost a lot, too. Les Miles won a championship at LSU. He did a lot of losing. Oh, he's not losing three games at LSU. It's a different tier job. Well, then why do coaches that LSU hire lose so many games all the time? Explain that to me. Help me out here. If it's a different tier job, why do coaches go there and lose? How did Notre Dame's coach go there and lose? How did that happen? It's almost like it's a great job, but it's not invincible. And especially in an era in which you cannot stack a roster of 90 guys that can't leave, even Kirby Smart, who's elite, doesn't have the depth that he used to have. I mean, Georgia's peaking at the right time, but Georgia's different now. And Kirby's elite. So just living in La La Land is where you are. Over under 5 years before LSU has to deal with his crap when the NFL comes calling. I mean, right now, if you're an NFL GM and you look at the way he handled this and went to hire him, you're insane. So, hope the guys on the Ole Miss team are loyal enough to Ole Miss and won't go to LSU. Some of them will. Some of them will. Lane talked about loyalty, but doesn't have any himself. I mean, the amount of times where those players here protect the team, you know, integrity, work for each other, all that stuff. I mean, you just kind of roll your eyes when that happens. But the problem is when you're not a relationships guy, when you don't build relationships with your players, you shouldn't be surprised when your players don't want you coaching them after you abandon them. You shouldn't be surprised by that. But that's what happened. Again, there are some, I'm sure there are some players that wanted him to stay. In fact, I know there are at least a couple players that wanted him to stay. The majority of them. The vast majority of them wanted him to go if he was taking the LSU job. I have that confirmed from the player side and a parent of the player side. That's what happens when you don't build relationships with them. They don't care about you. Lane Kiffin's going to troll us through the Juice Kiffin account that he owns. Is there a way the school can get that account shut down? Sorry, LSU fan. You're stuck with that. That you're not changing that. You're not. That's what it is. Lane never gave a straight answer on why he left. Yeah, I saw that. It was a bizarre answer to the question. I'm sure in their press conference tomorrow he'll give a better one, but I keep scrolling just to avoid being, repetitive. You heard Joe Judge was offered a position to LSU and took it. That's not true. I don't know where you saw that, but it's not true. They can't fall out of a college football playoff. If they do, the whole college football playoff becomes a joke. They won't fall out of it. You should not be surprised if they fall out of a host. They shouldn't, but if that does happen, I don't think you should be surprised by that. Did you watch Hunter Yurecek try to explain the last time? Damn it, Oxford next year will be the most toxic scene in sport, and it won't be close. Man, the banners and signs and stuff in the Grove are going to be amazing, though. Should we worry about Goldie not having head coaching experience? Yes. Yes. No hire bats 1,000. Yes, that is the concern about him. It's a fair concern. Maybe they'll go back to more traditional uniforms and no SIP end zones. I thought the Egg Bowl uniforms, that was bad. You didn't look like Ole Miss anymore. I like the real tree, by the way. I like the look. I like it. They need to keep doing it. I think what the Jordans have done for Ole Miss is awesome. Like, my kid has some real tree stuff because I like it. Like, not Ole Miss real tree stuff, just real tree stuff because I like it. It's a good product. But the Egg Bowl uniform didn't look like Ole Miss. They need to go back to looking like themselves. I'm all for alternates, and I like the powder blue, but you had a good look also that you don't need to completely get rid of. Golding, not even a good DC. Just say you don't know ball. Man, just say you don't know ball. It's fine. Not everybody does, but you don't. I don't know if LSU's going 5-7 next year. No, I think they'll end up being pretty good. That schedule is really difficult, though. Hard to say Weiss could come back. I don't know, man. It's probably what's best, but everybody saw him get on that airplane. Everybody saw him get on that airplane. Sorry, lots of comments here. Could Weiss say Kiffin forced his hand? Probably. So who gets custody of Juice? Word on the street is he's currently still at Wild Rose. Spent a lot of time with the Wild Rose people. A Hoosier fan, hate it for the Ole Miss fans and players that this went down. Well, Paul, you know, not everybody can be Kirk Cignetti. Not everybody can be him. I'm happy for you, Indiana fans. You guys deserve this. I mean, you know this. I don't need to tell you, but your program has been in tough shape for a long time. And you finally found someone that not only is a winner, but understands and recognizes that he's at a place that will give him what he needs to be competitive. History or tradition be damned. And I couldn't be more impressed by Kirk Cignetti. If I had a Heisman vote, it would go to your quarterback. Although I think Trinidad Chambliss has put up better numbers against a more difficult schedule, considering he has two fewer starts, but dude's undefeated in Indiana. I think everything about your program is awesome, Paul. And good to see you, man. If a friend invites you to hot yoga, decline. I've been recently invited to hot yoga. Not in Oxford, but I did decline. So. Wow, this is so eloquently said, LSU fan 861. You are, I can tell that there's a lot going on upstairs. Very, very, very good. How is Golding going to be the head coach calling the defense from the booth? I think Judge needs to lead the team through the playoffs and then turn it over to Golding at the end of the season. I am curious to see how that's going to work out. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work out. Very curious to see what they decide to do, though. Part of me wonders if they will keep it the same for now, just to make everything, every voice, everything the same, and then next year do it differently. That's a good question. What about Brian Daboll? I think he'd be awesome as an offensive coordinator. I don't think you can bring him in, though, now. That would be more for a 2026 thing, I think. As an Alabama fan, I feel sorry for the guys back in Oxford, Mississippi. You deserve more and better than this. Like, Lane just left Ole Miss 11-1 to go to LSU, where he'll be kicked out in 3 years. This is how you know that he's handling this poorly. The overwhelming majority of State fans I have interacted with over the last few days have been like, man, that Kiffin guy's an asshole. And you got Alabama fans here in a YouTube chat like, God, that sucks. That guy sucks. It's incredible when you've got other fans of other SEC schools reaching out to Ole Miss fans being like, hey, I'm sorry that this is happening. Like, that guy's terrible. Oh, man. Yeah, Byron Brown and Randall Joyner's roles will increase for sure. Let me see. LSU acting like these kind of things won't happen to them eventually. Oh, man. Like the 2024 season? You think that that's not going to happen down there? I've got another thing. You got another thing coming. I'm sorry. Clear Lane is a coward. It's, you know, the way it was described to me was he's a narcissist that completely lacks in self-confidence at the same time. That would explain why you would want to leave an 11-1 football team. Just scrolling right past a lot of this stuff. Sorry if you put something genuine here and I missed it, but, you know, there's just a lot of crap filled in the chat right now, so. That's the fear, getting dropped in the playoff rankings. That is the fear. It shouldn't happen. Part of me wonders if Greg Sankey's going to step in a little bit. Wesley Walls is in that room. And that should help you, at least I think. I think naming Pete head coach is a major error. Interim coach is okay. Pete's untested as a head coach. But new rule that I'm establishing with discourse. If you're going to knock a hire, present a better one. So if it's a major error, tell me what would not have been a major error. Guess you were on the phone with the AD, so you know he was allowed to talk to the team. And since you know for a fact to say he's lied, why aren't you sitting at Ole Miss? David, it's, you know what's interesting, David, the LSU fan, is you can build contacts with, you know, people that are in the room at team meetings and stuff like that. You don't have to believe it. Just know that your new coach was given plenty of opportunity to talk to his team, especially the team leadership council, but he ghosted them like a 16-year-old girl. That is what you have to deal with now. An elite football coach that acts like that is a you problem now. He's an elite coach. He'll win a whole lot of games. The offense is going to be fun. But if you think that. Just, you'll see. You're going to have to deal with a lot of stuff like that now. I don't know if you're ready for that. But that's just me. It's team is pissed off, it'll show in the playoffs, have something to prove to the traitor. I mean, this really is just a nonsense position to have. The LSU was willing to let him coach the playoffs, and Ole Miss was the one that wouldn't. I mean, if Alabama comes open in 2 years, and Lane Kiffin wants the Alabama job, takes the Alabama job, would you let him in your facility for a month on signing day during the tampering period, building his staff? No, you wouldn't. It's a nonsense position to hold. You cannot allow the coach of a former division rival, but of one of your permanent opponents in your conference to be in your building while coaching for them for at least a month. You simply cannot do that. You can't do it. It's a nonsense position to hold. It's not sound in logic or reason. Anybody that says that is not thinking clearly at all, or worse. I think Lane Kiffin and Lincoln Riley are cut from the same cloth. One is much worse. One is a much better football coach, and it's Lane Kiffin. He's a much better football coach than Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln Riley has more emotional maturity. Wouldn't Weiss want out from Kiffin Shadow? You would think so. Did Lane call the plays for Ole Miss? Nope, Charlie Weiss Jr. did. Lane had veto power if he wanted to. No, I'm you guys. I mean, these comments are insane. Sorry for those of you listening in podcast form. There's just so much to scroll past. Not sure if Bama would ever hire Lane. Honestly, no, not now. No, Pete Golding was never going to go with Lane Kiffin to LSU. I don't know who told you that. He was not. He wasn't, so. Marty's a good guy, but his accent's too over the top, and I'm a Southerner. I think that's authentic. I do. I actually do think that that's how he talks, because I've been around him in social settings, like camera off, not, and I think he's legit. He seemed like a really nice guy to me. There's a lot of fake. Especially in TV, there's a lot of fake. He didn't strike me as fake. I actually really enjoyed my interactions with him. Peter Burns also is a guy that does not strike me as fake at all. Seems very real and cool. Alyssa Lang, another one that behind, like off camera, was really nice and genuine. There's a whole hell of a lot of fake as well there. Yeah, Edward, I'm with you. I might even just end it, and we can do this again on Tuesday with how terrible the comment section is tonight. Want no comment from Trinidad? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you haven't seen every single player say something. Maybe they're waiting for something more official. Maybe they've got graphics to be made or something like that. I don't know. Release the Ulysses Bentley files now. Apparently somebody's going to get him, or trying to get him on a podcast, and he might have some answers for whatever that was last year. Herbert, thank you for your super chat, man. Really appreciate you and your support. Thank you. What do you think of Pete's program management skills? Again, sorry for the long pauses, guys. For those of you listening in podcast form, the comment section is just filled with garbage tonight for some reason. I know the reason. It's because of the story, but it's not our typical comment section. What's your view of Pete's program management skills? So don't know yet, because he has, you know, has not run a program on his own. But I do know that the organization and roster building and things like that on the defensive side has been really awesome. It's no secret that they started recruiting much better in the high school ranks on defense after they hired him. It's a lot more structured with purpose. He's really good. He's learned from a lot of people. He's got his own process too. I think what you've got too with a Pete Golding is somebody that, for whatever it's worth, I mean, just because you love a place doesn't mean that it's going to work there, but you've got a guy that I think will really, truly, genuinely care and put effort into building relationships, not just with, you know, certain people, but with the fan base as a whole and the players and everybody around the program. You're going to get, it'll be a different feeling coming from the head coach about how he approaches the job and the people around it than you had before. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but you are definitely going to get that as well. You pour more into NIL and renovate the stadium now. I don't know about the stadium renovation. In this era, it's not worth it, I don't think. But they may have money now to do it. I don't know. I've lost my place in the chat as well. Give me just a second. But sorry, I'm getting there. But that's an interesting question. I don't know if it's worth it. Is it true that Lane didn't even address the team when he left? It is true. He was given chances. He did not. Chose not to many times. Why couldn't Lane win in 6 years? I'm sure he will, but I don't think that you guys are going to like when it doesn't happen and how that gets handled. Scoring 40 a game with a defense that allows no more than 20 a game is a recipe for success. Breaking more at 11. Appreciate you. Earned a new sub. Enjoy your rational, insane football knowledge. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. March Manning can stay where he's at. I think he'll end up being good. Has been pretty darn good down the stretch as well. It's just there was too much hype for him, and it wasn't particularly fair. But with the name, you get what you get. No, I will not be talking about Lane's children, if that's okay with you. Are you giving a pass to the other coaches that left? I am, because their livelihoods were held over their head. So I don't blame them. They're not ones getting $90 million contracts. So live feed is frozen. Is it still frozen? Got overloaded. Wow. Okay. Are we back or are we done? Dale, help me out. I got to scroll all the way down to the bottom now. It's fixed. Okay, good. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, the comment section is just horrendous. And so we'll get back to this on Tuesday, our usual time. Doesn't Ole Miss have a basketball game on Tuesday? They do, right? It's the Miami game. We will we'll go live after that. I just let me make sure. Ooh, 8 o'clock on Tuesday? Oh no. That's unfortunate. That's also the Connerly trophy presentation. I assume it's going to go to Chambliss. It's going to go to Chambliss. He's going to win on Tuesday. We'll be there for that, for the radio show, but we'll get back in plenty of time, and we'll go live on Tuesday after the basketball game. So that's going to be a pain, though. That'll be like a 10:30 start for the live stream on Tuesday night, but that's what we'll do. Chris Beard's team kind of needs to get back off the mat after a couple of unfortunate showings in Palm Springs. They kind of need this one. And then, by the way, Saturday they're going up to St. John's. So this is a very important week for Ole Miss basketball. They need, I mean, at least to split these two, but it would do them good to get them both after what happened out in California. So that's what we'll do. We'll go live back on Tuesday, more of the regular crowd, and we'll keep talking about this then. So I really appreciate you guys for being here. Don't forget to subscribe and all that good stuff. And I'll see you guys on Tuesday after the basketball game. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.